Thank you, Miss Linda. Well, good morning, church. Let's stand together. Let's sing Nothing But the Blood of Jesus. Let's sing this wonderful hymn together.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood.
This morning, church. Amen. Amen. Well, good morning. It's so good to see you this morning. How are we doing? Good, good. Well, it's a great day to be in the house of the Lord this morning. If you're visiting with us, thank you for choosing to worship with us this morning. You're our honored guest. There's a QR code on the pew in front of you, and we just ask you to take a moment, scan that QR code, we get to know you a little bit better. At the end of the service, we have a special gift for you out here in our Welcome Center. But it is a great day to be in the house of the Lord. We believe in His strength this morning, don't we, church? We do believe He is on His throne, don't we, church? Amen. So let's sing this great song together. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord.
Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord.
Let me hear you. Come on.
Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Our God, You reign forever.
Our strong deliverer.
moments to greet somebody around you this morning. Let's sing this great hymn together.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand.
Thank you for that this morning, church, that our strength is found in the Lord, that He is our rock that we can stand on. Amen. And this morning, no matter what you're going through in your life, we believe this morning He is a chain breaker, that He frees us from our sins of captivity. Listen as Jennifer sings for us.
You've been walking the same old road for miles and miles. You've been hearing the same old voice tell the same old. Trying to fill the same old holes inside.
got faith. He's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker.
You believe that this morning, church? Amen? Come on.
We've all searched for the light of day, dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. We've all run the things we know just ain't right. There's a better life. There's a better life.
Let's proclaim it, come on.
If you got faith. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. If you got faith, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, say it. He's a prison shaking savior.
This morning, church, yeah. Yeah, I love that bridge. If you believe it, if you receive it, somebody testify. I don't know about you, but I believe it and I receive it. Right? We live in a world that tells us negative, 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 but we have a God who has overcome the throne. And he's overcome the grave and he is on the throne. Let me get my words right. Hello. Right? But the blood of the Lamb saves us all. And I don't know about you, but there's times when I'm in pain. I need a pain taker. There's chains of sin that have held us all, and we need a chain breaker. Am I talking to myself this morning, church? I don't know. So, Jennifer, this is kind of off the cuff here, but Jennifer, would you start that bridge again? And I'm going to need somebody who believes that this morning, church. Because sing it for us, Jennifer.
If you believe it.
Come on now.
If you receive
it. We believe in the blood of Jesus. Amen.
If you can't feel it. Somebody tell me.
His strength has overcome everything. He's overcome the world.
If you believe
it. I'm proclaiming if you believe it this morning, church.
If you receive it.
Come on, man.
If you can't feel it.
Oh, somebody tell me. If you believe it. Come on.
If you believe it. If you receive it. You can't feel it, somebody testify. If you got pain, he's a pain taker.
Oh yeah.
If you feel lost,
he's a way maker.
He's a way maker.
Yeah.
If you need freedom, saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains.
that this morning, church. Come on, let's give him a praise and worship. Yes, come on. Praise him this morning. Amen. Oh, yes. Amen. You may be seated.
Amen. I want to thank you so much for being here today and allowing the Spirit of the Lord to be in this place. And we are so grateful that he is a chain breaker and he is a way maker. And he brings hope into our darkness and brings life when we feel lifeless. And so we welcome you. We welcome the Holy Spirit in this place. So grateful that every week there's an opportunity for us in this place to come to the altar and pray, or wherever you're worshiping today, you can pray and make that your altar. But we believe in God's power to do what we cannot do on our own. And as I shared last week, when we are weak, then we are strong in and through Christ. And so if you would like to tap into his life-giving, life-changing, life-saving power, this altar is open for you to come and kneel, or you can stand, or you can stand from where you're sitting. However the Holy Spirit leads, I invite you to come join me as we lift up our prayers together. Would you come pray with me today? May we pray together. God, we come to you today with grateful hearts, thankful hearts, rejoicing hearts, some with broken hearts and burdened hearts and grieving hearts, troubled hearts, lost hearts. But God, we know that however we've come into this place, we do not have to leave the same way. We can leave here with hope. We can leave here with joy. We can leave here with peace. We can leave with life. Father, this morning we give you all praise and glory for being a great and awesome God. And Father, we just pray today for folks at this altar, people praying from their seats, people praying who are watching online. We know that you know our hearts and you know what's going on. But we come to you, God, with humble hearts, bowing out of reverence and acknowledgement that when we humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, you will lift us up. So God, lift us up today from our grief, from our depression, from our addiction, from our loneliness, from our guilt, from our sin, from our lostness, from our past. God, lift us up to give us life. Forgive me, forgive us when we've allowed sin to come in. And Father, cleanse us and purify us so we can see you at work. Father, I pray a special prayer today, Father, for Regina Fish and her family and the loss of her mother. And ask that you would comfort them, wrap your arms around them. Father, there are many in the hospital today that need your divine touch. We believe you're still the miracle worker and you can still perform miracles. Give you praise, God, for miracles that are taking place even now. Father, we just pray for families that are divided, that you would bring healing. We pray, oh God, for finances, Lord, that are low for some, that you would provide from places they never dreamed or imagined. We pray, oh God, that you would break the chains of addiction and bring hope and life. Father, we pray for someone who's battling depression or anxiety and ask, God, that you would give them a gentle peace. Lord, we pray today for our country, for our leaders. We pray for revival and spiritual awakening. Father, I'm so grateful. My family and I are so grateful for this church family that we love so much and that have been so loving and kind to us and our family and our great loss. And Lord, I pray your blessings upon each one of them, and they would just feel not only our love, God, but your love as well. Father, I just pray if there's anyone here today lost without Christ or maybe watching and they've never given their heart and life to Jesus, that today would be the day of salvation for someone or for many. And Lord, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would continue to move through the music and through the message and through your messenger and through our time of commitment, and that we would all draw closer to you and we would experience your amazing grace and love. So, Father, we just ask now that you would continue to bless us. And again, Lord, when I am weak, then may I be strong in and through you. And Lord, we'll just praise you and thank you for the victory that we trust you to bring. To God be the glory. In his strong name we pray. Amen. Amen. This morning, if you have your Bible, would you turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 17? This is an old story, but a great story that I know some of you are familiar with. It might be new to others, but no matter how old it is, the Lord can certainly bring new perspective and new meaning into our lives. And we're going to be reading first out of chapter 17, verses 1 through 11. Then we'll skip over and begin reading with verse 32. And then our musicians will be coming back to lead us after the reading of God's Word. Begin with verse 1. Now the Philistines gathered their forces for war and assembled at Socah in Judah. They pitched camp at Ephes-Damim between Socah and Azekah. Saul and the Israelites assembled and camped in the valley of Elah and drew up their battle line to meet the Philistines. The Philistines occupied one hill and the Israelites another with the valley between them. A champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. His height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head and wore a coat of scale armor of bronze weighing 5,000 shekels. On his legs he wore bronze greaves, and a bronze javelin was slung on his back. His spear shaft was like a weaver's rod, and its iron point weighed 600 shekels. His shield bearer went ahead of him. Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us." Then the Philistine said, "This day I defy the armies of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other." And on hearing the Philistines' words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. Skipping down to verse 32. David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." Saul replied, "You are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You're only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine." Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. I cannot go in these, he said to Saul, because I'm not used to them. So he took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, chose five smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, approached the Philistine. Meanwhile, the Philistine with the shield bearer in front of him kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was a little more than a boy, glowing with health and handsome, and he despised him. He said to David, am I a dog that you come at me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Come here, he said, and I'll give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals. David said to the Philistine, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know there is a God in Israel. And all those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out his stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine, and he killed him. This is the word of the Lord, and blessed be the name of the Lord.
If you are able, stand with us. You cannot sing this song while being seated, so join us.
Well, if someone would have told me how good my life would get, well, I would have called them crazy, because I couldn't see it yet. From a story going nowhere to where I'm standing now, I'm smiling cause I know there's only one way. How good, how good, how good, God. My heart can't help but see. Oh, how good, how good, how good, God, to be so good to me. My sins have been forgiven, my wrongs have been erased, and I know what's so amazing about amazing grace. This life I live is proof that every prayer I pray was heard. Lord, ain't it just like you to give me more than I deserve? How good. When it's time to leave this earth, Lord, ain't it just like you to give me more than I deserve? How good, how good, how good, God, my heart can't help but see. Oh, how good, how good, how good, God, to be so good to me. How good, how good, how good.
Good.
thank you, John and worship team. God is good, and I'm so grateful that we can come together to worship Him and celebrate His goodness and His faithfulness. I always like to share a little humor before we get started to hear more important things. Went to the doctor this past week, and I told them that I had developed this fear, and the doctor diagnosed me with the fear of giants. And they called it fee-fi-phobia. So I used to have a real fear of speed bumps, but I'm slowly getting over it. Y'all know that the, you know why the hot dog's not so afraid of the ketchup anymore? Because he's mustered up his courage. Y'all want me to stop right there? I think it would be the wise thing to do. There's one word that we all would like to attach ourselves to today, and that word is victory. Whether it's in sports, whether it's in health battles, whether it's in your work, whether it's in school, whether it's in competitions, whether it's in wars, whether it's in daily living, we all, I believe, want victory in our lives. That's why I believe there are so many different groups who take on the name victory, whether it's churches, car dealerships, fitness centers, home builders. Everyone wants to attach their name with the name victory. And why is that? Because we all can relate, can't we? We all have on a daily basis experienced defeat or pain or losses in our lives. And so we are eager to find victory. And the victory and the hope that we have today is in the Lord Jesus Christ. I love what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that awesome to know? Thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Turn your attention to the screens for a moment. Scripture that we read today is an old story that I learned as a child, and maybe you learned the story of David and Goliath as a child. And no matter how many times I've read it or studied it, it still inspires me and challenges me. And I think it's because, again, we can all relate, can't we, with facing some kind of giant in our lives. I mean, it might be a giant of fear, or it might be a giant of worry. It may be a giant of guilt, or a giant of anger, or a giant of failure. But the fact is, we all can relate to facing giants. That's why we're starting today a new sermon series called Victory in the Lord in 2024. And we're going to be looking at some giants that we face on a daily basis in our lives. Many times these giants keep us from being our best. These giants cause us to be paralyzed in fear and not be the people God would have us to be at work or at school our daily living are at play or in our spiritual lives. And when I think about this story, I think about the Philistines being a long-time enemy of the Israelites. And on this particular day, the Philistines and the Israelite army squared off. They both were on two hills with a valley in between. And there was a giant who was a champion warrior named Goliath, who was over 9 feet tall. I shared at the early service, if any of you all watch NBA basketball, you know, the number one draft pick this past year for the San Antonio Spurs was Victor Wembanyama, who's 7'5". Now, to put things in perspective, Goliath was over 2 feet taller than Victor Wembanyama. And if you've ever seen him, that's tall. That's really tall. And so this giant warrior, Goliath, this champion, came out and began to mock and to insult and to defy the armies of Israel and to defy the Israelites' God, our God, the one true God. And as he did that, Saul, who was king of Israel, and his whole army, they were terrified. He was calling them out. He was picking a fight. He was drawing a line in the sand, saying, bring it on. And if anybody can come and beat me, we will become your subjects. But if you can defeat us, we will become your subjects. So all this was going on. There was a young man by the name of David who was a son of Jesse, one of eight sons, the youngest. And when David came to bring his older brothers some food, he heard Goliath insulting, calling out, mocking, making fun of the Israelites. And so David was like, I mean, are y'all hearing this? Can you believe? And when David heard what was being said, at that moment, he made a very important decision. Some of you are here today, and you're hearing what's being said, and you're facing a giant in your life right now. It may be one of fear that we're going to be talking about today. And it's causing you not to be able to enjoy life. It's constantly in front of you. It's constantly plaguing you. It's constantly on your heart and on your mind and affecting every area of your life. It has caused you to be shackled by your emotions, and it's hindering you from enjoying daily life, whether it is at work or at school or at play or among your friends or your spiritual life. It's keeping you hindered from being your best today. Well, if that's you, then I pray that you would make the same decision that David did in order for God to bring victory in your life. And the first thing we need to do is to tune out the voices. We have to tune out the voices. In verse 43, Goliath said, when young David approached me, he said, am I a dog that you come at me with sticks? And then he began to call on his gods to curse David. And when he said, am I a dog that you come at me with sticks, he was basically saying to David, I mean, this twig is all you got? This little stick here, this little twig is who you're sending to me? And then even David, after telling King Saul in verse 32, he said, look, your heart needs to be of good courage and cheer. I will go out and fight this giant. And Saul said to David in verse 33, he said, you can't go out and fight this Philistine. You're only a young man, and he's been a champion from his youth. Have you heard voices in your life? Are you hearing voices right now from the enemy that's saying, you're too young, you're too old, you're not strong enough, you're not good enough, you're not smart enough, you're not pretty enough, you're not qualified enough, you're not educated enough, you're not talented enough,
That's what the enemy does. The enemy spews lies. And we know who the real enemy is. The real enemy is the devil. And in John 8:44, it says that he is a liar and the father of all lies. I think about some great people of faith in the Bible who were hearing voices. Some were their own, and some, no doubt, the devil was placing these thoughts into their heads and into their hearts. I think about Moses, when God called Moses to lead the Israelites out of their bondage and slavery in Egypt. In Exodus 4:20, remember what Moses said when God was calling him? He said, look, I've never been eloquent. I am slow of speech and tongue. But we know that God used Moses anyway. I think about Judges 6:15, when God called Gideon to lead the Israelites out of the hand of the Midianites. And I think about what Gideon said when the angel of the Lord approached him in verse 15 of Judges 6. He said, pardon me, my Lord. He said, but my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am least in my family. But God used Gideon anyway to bring victory over the Midianites. Now think about Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5, when God was calling Isaiah to go and preach a message of repentance to the Israelites who had rebelled and who had disobeyed God. And remember what Isaiah, after seeing a vision of God there in Isaiah chapter 6, he said, oh Lord, I am ruined, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I come from a people of unclean lips. So we know that God can use people like Isaiah, and God can use people like Gideon, and God can use people like Moses, and God can use people like you and me, but we must tune out the voices of what's being said. And the enemy is all the time whispering in your ear. And I'm going to say a statement that we've heard someone use before. Don't believe the fake news. Don't believe what the enemy is telling you and telling me. And I think about years ago, and y'all have heard me share this, those of you that have been here for any amount of time, but years ago when I was praying about whether or not this is where God would have me to be and come and serve as pastor, I told you what people said. I had some people that said to me that you don't want to go to that church. They said that church is dying. That church is so small, they're about to close their doors. And if they stay open, it might grow to be about 60 or 62 people. So you really don't want your first pastorate to be at a dying church. They're divided. That is just, there's no hope for that church. Had I listened to the lies, I wouldn't be standing here today. I wouldn't be listening to those voices that were saying that that church can't live and that church can't grow. Because we know that God can do all things. And that's what he's done today. I think about just recently, I had someone to contact me just a couple of days ago, and this surprised me. I'm not on social media. If you've tried to find me on Facebook, you might find me through my wife, but she doesn't post a whole lot either, and I'm just not. I guess I'm out of touch, I guess, but I still try to effectively minister without my social media account. Our church has one, and I'm grateful for that because it is a way to reach out to people. But recently, a couple days ago, somebody called me and said there was a post on social media knocking a church that says it's for everybody or for everyone. Didn't call any names, and people were commenting, and they said, doesn't your church sign say a church for everyone? I said, yes, it does. And so the fact is, we had to tune out voices when we were a small church and thinking about closing its doors, and we have to tune out the voices when we're a larger church and we're growing, because somebody's always going to try to defeat what God's hand is doing. And we know that God brings the victory. And I just want to say that we forgive them, Father, for they do not know what they do. And praise God, we pray for those who persecute us for His name's sake. Because that's what we do. My dad always taught me and my mom to rise above. To rise above. When we're trying to serve the Lord and do His work, the enemy is always going to be throwing a fit. Always. And people many times try to kick you when you're down. I'm like, man, my mother just passed away and you're spitting venom out on social media about us trying to serve the Lord. That's sad. It's a sad commentary. So we pray for people when they make those type comments. Tune out the voices. But then secondly, we must do what David did. We take action by taking our stand. We take action by taking our stand. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, do you remember, this is over in verse 48, when the Philistine came closer to attack David, David ran to the battle line to meet him. Isn't that beautiful? When the big giant came closer to attack, David ran to the battle line to meet. He could have sat back paralyzed by fear, but instead, David ran. I love this part of the story. Y'all remember, one of my favorite movies of all time was Hoosiers. I wish it would have been the Wildcats, but it was Hoosiers. And remember that was what the preacher, father, one of the boys, shared that devotion. I shared about David and Goliath when I was a team chaplain for Franklin County basketball team when they went to the state tournament in the locker room at Rupp Arena. I was talking about David and Goliath trying to pump the boys up, get them excited about running out onto the court. And so I know that sometimes we are so paralyzed in fear that, again, we're not able to truly live. This life passes so quickly, and we can't stay back in fear. We must take action by moving forward. I said taking a stand by moving forward. Did you know there were only two comments that David made that were about Goliath? But there were 9 statements that David made about God. There were only 2 about the giant and 9 that he made about God. Max Lucado wrote years ago in his book, Facing Your Giants. He said, focus on your giants and you will stumble. Focus on God and your giants will tumble. I like that. When we focus on God, our giants will tumble. And maybe you're here today, and again, you're facing a giant of fear. But God's saying it's time that you take action by moving forward. I bet there's some people here today that have never made a public profession of your faith in Jesus Christ. And the reason is you've been afraid to come up in front of some people. Some of you said, I'm a nervous wreck, and I don't really want to go up in front of those people. Many of us have felt that same thing. I'm a nervous wreck right now as I preach. Y'all have heard me say before, y'all want to feel my hands right now? They're cold and clammy. Kelly, you want to come hold my hand? Because I realize the awesome responsibility it is to stand up before a group of people and proclaim the Word of God. And I know that some of you are here, and the only reason you've never given your life to Christ, you don't want to get up in front of a few people. Don't let the devil talk you out of it. You take action by moving forward today and make a public profession of your faith. It'd be my honor to pray with you and so that you can receive Christ. Some of you are here today, and you need to move forward in this new year by forgiving someone. We're the same place you've been the last several years. You've never let go. Again, you're keeping that bitterness, think it's hurting them when it's hurting you. You need to move forward today, take action, and forgive that person, those people, finally. Maybe you're here today and you need to, this new year, move forward, take action, against your addiction. You know you have a problem. Your family knows you have a problem. You try to hide it at work. You try to hide it among your friends. Won't you get the help you need this year? Quit trying to fake your way through. If you've got an addiction, get help. Come see me. I'll help you. We'll point you to some people that can get you well. Life's too short to be shackled by an addiction. Maybe you're here today and you need to take action and move forward and tell somebody you love them. You've been waiting for the right time. They may not be here tomorrow. You tell them you love them today. Or maybe you need to take action by asking somebody out on a date. I kind of like them. I don't know if they like me. I don't know. I've shared with y'all many years ago, I was praying for God. If you were here last Sunday at my mom's service, I talked about how my mother was praying. I was praying for that special someone to come in my life. And my dad used to say, son, don't expect God to bring them to you on a silver platter. You got to go out to where the girls are. Don't expect them to bring them to your front door. And if you all remember the story, God brought Kelly to the front door of the parsonage. Y'all remember I said she was wearing that red dress. Kelly said, it wasn't red, it was black. I said, I was so taken by your beauty, I didn't care what color the dress was. And so God did bring her to the front door. But then, as you all know the story, I knew her dad, and he's an outdoorsman, a hunter, a fisherman. I knew he's the kind of guy that once when a guy came to take Kelly to a dance in high school, he was cleaning his gun when the guy came. He's that kind of guy. And so when I was single and I lived at the parsonage, I would run over to Spring Hill through the subdivision and then run back. And this particular night, Kelly's mom and dad were out on the front porch, and I stopped to visit with them. And it got dark, and Bill said, well, you don't need to run back on 421 at dark. Let me take you back. And I said, well, okay. And so then he brings me back to the parsonage. We're in the driveway. And forgive me, for those of y'all who have heard me share this. For others, you might find it entertaining that I was kind of nervous. And so as we pulled in the drive, Bill turned his truck off, and I started talking to him, and I said, Bill, there's something I'd like to say to you. I said, what if there was an older man that wanted to ask your daughter out? Would you shoot them? He said, it depends on who that man is. I said, this is a true story. This is exactly what was said. Then about that time, I think Bill had quit smoking, but at that time there was a hidden stash under his visor. He lit one up, stuck his leg out the window. I caused him to start smoking again. But he since stopped. But then I said, what if this man was an older man carrying a Bible? He said, depend on who that man is. I said, well, Bill, I'd like to ask Kelly out on a date if that'd be okay. And he said, well, she's an adult. She makes those decisions for herself. But if she wants to, and that's how the Lord leads, then so be it. I'm like, hey, thank you so much. I appreciate that. Next thing you know, old Jed was a millionaire. That was a beautiful thing. And so some of you are here and you've allowed fear to shock you. What if I never got the courage up to ask? We wouldn't have our beautiful family that we have today. And why is it sometimes you say, well, how did that beautiful girl end up with that old guy? Because he asked. He asked. That's how it happens. You have to be brave enough, courageous enough to ask. David ran to the battle line to meet the giant. And then lastly, we must trust in God to bring the victory. We must trust in God to bring the victory. David had taken 5 smooth stones from the stream, and with his sling and 1 stone, he slung it and hit the giant Goliath right in the forehead. My love, as we go back to verse 43, or 45, excuse me, David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord." And then in verse 47, he said, "The battle belongs to the Lord, and he will give you over into my hands." And in verse 50, that day, David triumphed over the giant with a sling and a stone. And I'm so grateful that the battle belongs to the Lord, aren't you all? If it were on our own strength, we couldn't do it. But because of his strength and his power, we are able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine. Paul said in 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God did not give you a spirit of fear or timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and a sound mind," or self-discipline. David, little David, is the one who wrote in Psalm 56:3, "When I am afraid, I will trust in you." Then Isaiah in Isaiah 41:10 said, "So do not fear, for I am with you." He said, "Be not dismayed, for God will be with you, and he will strengthen you and help you and uphold you with his mighty right hand." And I want to tell you why God brings victory. You know why God brings you and me victory? So he'll be glorified. That's why we get victory. And I have to tell you in conclusion that when I was with my mom in the hospital, we were praying for a miracle of healing. You heard me share that. Praying, "The battle belongs to the Lord. By your wounds, by your stripes, she is healed." We believe that you are still the Lord of miracles. We prayed for healing. But I want to tell you this. The victory isn't always the way we want it to be. Because my mom has received the ultimate victory. She's with the Lord in heaven and back with my dad. She is victorious. And some of us are here today, and I don't know what you're going through or what your giant is, but know this, that God wants to bring victory, but you've got to trust in him. You've got to place your trust in the Lord and say, "God, whatever happens, I know ultimately you get the victory and you will be glorified through it all." So today, if you're here, in a moment, we're going to stand and sing a hymn of commitment. Would you take action by moving forward to give your life to Christ? Would you take action by moving forward and come and join this church? Would you take action, move forward, and recommit your life? Say, "I haven't been serving. I haven't been doing what I've been on the sidelines, and I'm ready to get in the game and watch the victories God bring when we submit to him and say, the battle belongs to the Lord." May we pray together. Father, I pray right now in the stillness of this moment that if there are any men or women or young people here that have never accepted you into their hearts, I pray, God, that today would be the day of salvation, that someone might confess their sin, ask you for forgiveness, and invite you to come in. We believe, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We believe we're a church for everyone because God so loved the world. We're all sinners. But praise God, when we allow him in and his Holy Spirit, he makes the changes that need to take place to become more like Christ. So I pray, God, you would give someone the courage, the holy boldness to come, just as young David had the courage to run to the battle line to meet the giant. Help us to overcome that fear. Lord, I pray there are Christians that need to renew their commitment and start living their life for you, Lord. I pray, God, that today would be a fresh start, a new beginning. Lord, I pray for people that are looking for a church. This is a wonderful church. Not perfect. I sure am not perfect. But we strive to live for our perfect God and point people to Him because He is without fault. So, Lord, we thank You for Your amazing grace and love. And I just pray, Lord, that today You would give one or many the courage to do what Your Spirit is leading them to do. And we'll be sure to give You all the glory in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. I'm going to invite you to stand and come as we sing this hymn of commitment. It'd be my privilege to pray with you. Won't you come?
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found.
seated for a moment. I'm so thankful for decisions made today. I'm grateful for Angie Pulliam coming today with her precious baby and wanting to dedicate her precious child to the Lord when we have our next baby dedication. And we're so excited for that and continue to pray for your family. And so grateful today for Autumn Johnson. Autumn, if you would come stand beside me. And today Autumn comes wanting to give her life really back to the Lord, get back on track, and to join this church family. Autumn, we welcome you and know the Lord has led you here. And we celebrate with you on your decision. And I know you want to show your love and support and prayers to Autumn by letting it be known by saying amen. Amen and applause. We welcome you. And Autumn, would you mind to join me back in the foyer after the service just so people can give you a warm welcome? But we are so thankful you're here. You can be seated at this time. And please know if there are others of you that would like to pray with one of our staff, it'd be our privilege to pray with you about your decision. If you're a guest, come back and see us. We'd love to have you. This is a great way to get back in the flow of a new year. And so we pray that God's going to continue to bless us. We invite you to come back tonight. 6 o'clock, we're having our second annual card blitz down in the fellowship hall. Come around to the back doors. Come on in. We're going to have some refreshments, good fellowship. We're going to write cards to people that haven't been here in a while, to prospects, to shut-ins, to all kinds of folks. We'll provide the cards, the stationery, the pens. We just need your presence. But it's going to let people know we love them and that they're missed. And so I hope you'll join us at 6 tonight. It's for all ages, for the whole family. Hope you'll come be a great part of this outreach tonight. But thank you for worshiping with us. Don't forget all the weekly activities this week. A meal at 5 on Wednesday, prayer meeting at 6 in this room. We'd love to have you to be a part of what God is doing. Thank you, church, for being here today. My family and I, we do love you very much. And thank you for showing your love and support to us. I'm going to invite you to stand. After we sing a closing song, Todd McDaniel, our deacon of the week, is going to come pray for us. So thanks again for being here this morning. God bless you.
Well, let's sing it together.
Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow.
Now as we leave, keep us safe and bring us back safe next week.